From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with Brian McClain and Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to State of the Nation. Today in this second hour, our guests are Dan Plant, Floyd Brown, and Baltimore pastor P.M. Smith. Don't forget to add the TNT open line phone number to your address book so you can call us easily anytime from anywhere on today's News Talk. Phone numbers are listed on the website at tntradio.live. We want to hear from you across America, so get going. Give us a call. Join TNT Radio and the annual pilgrimage to the healing city of Bath in southwest England to hear the pioneers and innovators of our time reveal how excellent health has been hidden from us and explore what the reveal means for the better way we are co-creating. The Better Way Conference 2023 at the Apex Hotel in Bath, UK. From yesterday, June 1st, to Sunday, this Sunday, June 4th, unveiling A Better Way for Health, Freedom, and Sovereignty, the Better Way Conference 2023, heard only on TNT Radio. Well, Brian, I got a couple of headlines for you. Would you like to jump in with me?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, you know, I wanted to mention that drone, but I'm going to leave that one because we got so much other stuff to cover. But do you remember we just had our guest on, Bonner Cohen, talking about the water and the EPA, and they were trying to get the water from the people successfully sued. They were trying to take their water off their property. We had him on a couple of days ago. Well, I found this interesting headline this morning that Arizona has just announced limits on construction in the Phoenix area because they're stating the groundwater is disappearing. So this is the beginning of something I call the water wars, which has been going on for a long time, but now it is really rearing its ugly head. So they're not letting you do new construction unless you can prove you can provide water, bring in water. What do you think about this?
I think that all the people that have moved to Arizona from California over the last 3 years should bring some water with them. They should petition California to break off the aqueduct and reroute some of that to Arizona, since so many people have left California for the Phoenix area. You know, obviously I'm kidding a little bit here, but I mean, one thing I will say is Arizona needs to be very careful to not take up the same practices as California with regards to management of their water, storage of their water, capture of their water, litigation and rules to the public around water. You know, it's really a failed system in California, and it's and their policies that are still in place, unless they've been dumping water since the amazing amount of water that got dumped on them this winter, they have all the reservoirs full. They have dry lakes that are now lakes again. And California has a huge I know we're talking about Arizona here, but let me say this. California has a huge opportunity now to have enough water for its citizens, especially since most of them are leaving, for the next few years, even if there's an extended drought. And they've had this happen before. And what did they do? They released half of the water, 40 to 60% of the water, back into the ocean for ecological reasons. To protect fish. Like they will take fish, 1,000 fish, perhaps over 40 million people in California. So I don't know what, you know, Arizona's specific problem is here. Is this real? Or, you know, is this more, this is on CNN. So CNN likes to push climate change issues with regards to this. So
I heard it was real though.
I heard it was real.
No, I know, but I'm glad you went back and talked about California, because I'm afraid like that, okay, that'll come to Arizona, that same mismanagement. They're talking also here upstate New York, water restrictions. And Brian, the worst thing I ever heard was, you know, turn the water off when you brush your teeth. You know, like we take the water for granted. We always have, but it is scaring me because I would say at least in the last decade, there have been behind the scenes, a lot of talk about the next currency of war is water.
Well,
and so
yeah,
I think these are little, you know, blurbs coming along, and that's where we're heading.
Right. Well, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to take a holistic viewpoint on it and to look at all the factors. You know, read F. William Ingdahl's writing on water and water supply. Because, for example, in yesterday's announcement that spurred all this is an example of the Arizona State University's Keel Center for Water Policy. Like, before I take any of their studies at face value, you know, from a news article, I would have to go in there and see what the Arizona State University Keel Center for Water Policy's track record is. And are they out there taking studies, making money on them, and then, you know, using them to push climate change agendas? Because if that's happening, then I would have to back out a little bit further and look at the water issue from a land management and a water management perspective and see if something else is maybe going on here, because it was a very wet winter.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that dreaded climate change, climate something, whatever they're always, you know, I kind of tune that whole thing out because we know what that's all about. I do want to mention, and he'll be on next week, Chief John Majoy. You actually were the one that sent me the article the other night, Brian, about the Cleveland police chief revealing nearly 30 children have been reported missing in 2 weeks, and they don't know. He's saying we don't know if they're trafficked, gangs took them, it's drug activity. But he's going to be top of the week, come on the program with us, because more people are reporting that so many kids are just disappearing. And so yeah. I ask everybody, where is everybody? You know, yeah. Whether it's these unaccompanied minors that came over the border, as they're called, those 88,000, 85,000, whatever that number is now, plus our own children. And this is an American crisis. This is about what is going on. Look at our guest today. We started with Dr. Drew talking about all the issues and addictions, and we got into Dr. Fran, and we have the social media. And so what is going on here? But he is going to be on the show, and he's going to give us the breakdown of what's happening, because he said in his area, which is near Cleveland, they've never seen anything like this at all going on. So that is something interesting we'll be doing next week. What else do you have for me, Brian? There's so many headlines. I don't know where to go.
I know. Well, I'm really excited about that one, actually, because I'm really interested in this. What you said right there made me think of a Nine Inch Nails song, Where Has Everybody Gone? So plug that in your browser. Give it a listen after the show. Yeah, it's a good song. But, you know, there was another, I saw Ring, you know, footage more than once in the last couple of weeks of attempted kidnappings. I saw a video that was captured of a 9-year-old girl who was out in the yard with her dad, broad daylight.
I saw.
He went inside for a second, and some guy rushed her, you know, asked her what kind of shirt she was wearing, and then rushed her. And luckily she was, you know, prepared young girl and got away from him, got to her dad and is safe. But we see a lot of that, you know, and there's more missing people. It seems like there's more missing people, like, you know, on the news feeds, then there's one right here in Texas right now that's missing, at least one that's been big in the headlines. So, yeah, missing persons, assaults, like these kind of crimes seem to be on the rise. And of course, as we know, the police forces, well, they're not necessarily equipped to deal with all that in the ways that they used to be, you know, with regards to backing from their DAs and their sheriffs and their chiefs of police and their, you know, frankly, they're societies in the blue cities, because they voted to defund them.
The other thing about missing, I just want to throw in, is that they will not even classify a missing person. You know, it's different in different towns and cities and things like that for 24 hours. That even goes, you know, for a 12-year-old girl who may have disappeared. I've dealt with this over and over again. You have to wait. She ran away. She's having a bad day. So nobody is really, there's no system really in place. Of course, if you're wealthy or have some money, you can immediately hire private detectives and things like that. But most of the people cannot do it. I find it very curious. I did see that clip you mentioned. The father went in the house to get a water bottle for the daughter. And she was out in the front lawn, they were playing, and the guy just came out of nowhere and was trying to grab her. And we have a lot more of that going on. So not only is it online, which we know has escalated, we've got this now in real time, people getting snatched. So, oh boy, Brian.
Yeah. All right.
Save us.
Well, oh my gosh. Let's bring our guest in. I got to apologize to Dan Plant for going on that rant there. I know he's been sitting in the green room for a minute here. Dan, welcome back. He pretty much needs no introduction at this point. He's a regular here on State of the Nation. We appreciate him so much. KUSI News in San Diego. Dan Plant joining us. Dan, what's up? Welcome to State of the Nation.
Yes. Hello. Y'all brought us. So, well, let me tell you, we've been talking about all the border issues, obviously, that have been going on. And I was giving you firsthand accounts of all the things that have happened down there. And, you know, quite honestly, that is not making headline news anymore. All those people, all those camps and things, they moved to the interior and they are being taken care of down there. And the people in Mexico actually have set up their own little website, you know, to have people register just like we did in the U.S., even though it doesn't work very well. Mexico set it up and said, look, if you're going to come into our country, then you need to register first. So things are changing a little in that area now that the Title 42 thing is over. A lot of people thought that Title 42, oh, gosh, everybody's got – it was the exact opposite because they're enforcing Title 8, which means basically they can expel people who come through another country. So if you come through Mexico, you're out. So anyway, it's not that bad. But I think the one thing that I wanted to talk about today was, you know, the main streets of San Diego. And there was a Twitter, I guess on KUSI, which is a TV station I work for here in San Diego. And I guess it got a lot of attention. I was doing a live shot outside of the public library downtown San Diego, which is like the Taj Mahal. It's this beautiful library with a dome on top that was designed by some marvelous architect. $200 million to build this thing. And basically, it's become a $200 million homeless shelter. And it's just really, it's really, really a tough deal. So the reason I was down there doing the story originally was because there was a murder right in front. And there's a lot of violence. People are dropping dead from fentanyl at an average of 2 a day in San Diego right now from the fentanyl. Because, as you know, we're at the front door of the fentanyl with the cartels in Tijuana. I mean, it just comes through here first, and then it spreads out across the nation. But so I'm standing there doing a live shot on this poor kid who was shot over a backpack, murdered, and his friend was shot a couple of times, too, right there in front of the public library. And as I'm doing my live shot, this guy starts circling me with a hypodermic needle in his hand. And, you know, there's some nasty stuff out there, right? And so he starts coming at me in the middle of my live shot. And I'm like, hey, bro, what are you doing? What do you got? And I'm like to my photographer, take a picture of this guy. Take a picture of what's in his hand. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Get away from me. And so he kind of laughs and tucks the needle in his hand. And he starts walking across the street. As he was walking across the street, there were a bunch of school kids coming across the walkway the other way. He was hunched down with this thing, you know, in his hand, holding it like it was a weapon, walking past these school kids who are dressed up like Catholic school kids, because in that Taj Mahal of a library, they have this special school called C3, and it's for kids that, it's like for poor kids in the neighborhood who are given a chance to get a really good education. And so the school is inside this library. And so at 4 o'clock, all the kids were coming out, and this guy was literally walking past them with this needle in their hand, and the kids were just, I mean, it was just unbelievable what's happening down here. This is San Diego. They call it America's finest city. And so that was just, that was just one little incident. But yeah, the homeless situation in San Diego is out of control. And as we know, there's a lot of factors, but, a lot of the political policies that we have in California and San Diego basically allow people to sleep on the streets, allow people to have free needles, free crack pipes. I read a story yesterday out of San Francisco. They're handing out brand new crack pipes. Because when the crackheads smoke crack or whatever, the fentanyl, sometimes the pipes are broken and they cut your lips. So they have this place, a couple of places where you can go get brand new crack pipes. I mean, I know this isn't new, but it's just creepy. It's like legalized drug abuse that leads to a decay of society. You know, in San Francisco, some of the biggest anchor stores are pulling out or have pulled out. Nordstrom's, Whole Foods, Williams-Sonoma, all these huge names are pulling out of San Francisco. They've been there for 50 years. They just can't handle it anymore. I mean, it's just horrifying. And, you know, the political structure, they're finally waking up here, and they're finally saying, oh, gosh, well, I guess we need to do something. This is unacceptable. And so what they're doing is they're buying. They're buying hotels, they're buying condos, they're buying apartment buildings. And, you know, there's a lot of money out there for these issues. And it's just crazy what's happening. Quite honestly, what they're paying for a single unit here for homeless that will be turned into a homeless shelter, the hotels that they're buying are averaging $400,000 a room. Think about this. $400,000 a room. For one room. In Iowa, you can get a seven-bedroom house for $400,000. And this is one little crappy room inside of an America, what do they call them, long stay America or extended stay America.
Right.
So we're paying $400,000 per room to put homeless people in this. And then, of course, we have the services that go along with it. Now, look, we got to get these people off the street. There's no doubt about it. And there is a fentanyl crisis. But, you know, you just can't house your way out of this problem. You have to have all the services that go with it. And it costs a lot of money and it takes a lot of dedication. And it's getting worse by the day. Every single week that they count the homeless people in San Diego, it gets higher and higher and more desperate. And it's, right. It's sad. It's very, very sad. And I know in New York, you know, there's a serious situation there as well. And then, of course, you add to that what's happening with the immigrants, both in New York, Texas, and California, obviously. You're adding to that population of people who need help, who need shelters. And suddenly the immigrants are getting better treatment than the people who live here. And that's what's happening here. Quite honestly, there's one, you know, I don't know how much time you got, but there's one hotel that's inland a little bit, about 6 miles in Mission Valley. And during the pandemic and all that, you know, all the lockdowns and all that crazy government lockdown stuff, right? They opened up, they bought this hotel and made it a homeless shelter and said, get everybody off the street. So when you went out there, literally, there weren't even homeless people. It was like Armageddon. It was like nuclear war. There was nobody. They took everybody off the streets. They put them in a convention center, and they put them in this hotel. Well, when the pandemic was over, they kicked all the homeless people out, not quite sure where they all went, and it is now an immigration shelter for all the people that are coming in across the border. And this is a big hotel with like a convention center. So we are literally treating our immigrants better than we're treating our own people.
Yeah.
It's crazy what's happening out there.
It's just amazing. But,
getting chased around with the hypodermic needle, that was the first, I'll tell you. I've seen them all on the ground, and I've seen a lot of things, and hung around a lot of homeless camps and border areas and all these things, but never been, you know, sort of circled around with a guy with a hypodermic needle who looked like he was, you know, ready to pounce.
Right. So, yeah, you don't know if it's America's a hot dose, city. A deadly dose of something.
Hot dose, baby, yeah. And the truth is, I hang around in these kind of places. I carry Narcan with me everywhere I go. I have Narcan in my bag. I have Narcan in my car. I have Narcan in the bag of my bicycle.
I'm going to be adding it to my arsenal too.
Yeah, because I mean, people are dying. Yeah. This guy I know who runs. You never know, man. I mean, fentanyl's everywhere, right? You think
Wrap us up, Dan. Dan, we got to go in a minute. So give us your final story here. Final thoughts before we got to go to break.
Final thoughts are: we have a lot of work to do we have two humanitarian crises happening in our country. One is immigration, and one is homelessness. And until we get politicians and politics that actually deal with this in a way that we can get control, it's going to keep getting out of control. And quite honestly, the people that are in control today are allowing this to happen, and right now just waking up to the fact that it's probably going to kill them in the next election, so they're finally trying to do something about it, but too little, too late. It's going to take a change of leadership. It's going to take a change of philosophy to change all of this, because whatever's happening in certainly California, which is a super, super duper majority of Democrats, it's not going to happen until something changes. And by the way, Steve Garvey, the great baseball player, just announced, and I'll leave you with this, that he's probably going to run for the U.S. Senate and perhaps take Dianne Feinstein's place, because of course Dianne Feinstein, well, she hadn't been there for 2 years, but she thinks she has. Crazy.
Okay. Well, that's a good one. We're glad you're safe though, Dan. You know, keep up the good work and please stay safe. Stay safe.
Yeah, well, it's it can get crazy out there. But
absolutely.
I'm a feral creature.
That's right. You remain that way, my friend. All right. That's Dan Plant, everybody. We're going to have him back on again soon. And remember, at TNT Radio, we never go home, and we're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We got you covered on TNT Radio.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
NATO, they've also, you could say they've invaded Kosovo. Yeah, they've sent peacekeeping troops in. And there's NATO police forces in Kosovo to put down demonstrations of Serbs living in Kosovo. Kosovo was meant to be a country. NATO tried to tear a piece of Serbia away and encourage people from Albania to rapidly immigrate, to change the demographics. And at that point, they wanted to create a rump state there, a NATO protectorate. Only the neighbors around the surrounding areas, they didn't recognize Kosovo as a legitimate country. So they've been holding on to it, trying to turn it into a state. It's really to poke and to prod and to sort of torture, if you will, the country of Serbia that's traditionally allied with Russia. That's the whole point of Kosovo. It's to divide and rule in the Balkans. As if breaking up Yugoslavia wasn't enough, they had to further weaken Serbia by slicing off literally the spiritual homeland of the Serbs, which is in Kosovo, Pristina. That's where their history is.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Let's talk about the state of the nation. Call Brian McLean and Lynn Shaw now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, returning to State of the Nation, we've got Floyd Brown joining us, American author, speaker, and media commentator, and of course, Counterpunch. All right, that's the book you want to go get, Counterpunch, right now. Open a spare tab on your browser and punch it in, Counterpunch. Floyd Brown, welcome to State of the Nation. How are you today?
It's great to be back with you. And, you know, interestingly enough, I received a call from my publisher, and this past week, Counterpunch made one of the bestseller lists. So people are getting the word, and when they read it, they're encouraging their friends to read it because it gives us a plan to take America back.
Oh, my gosh. And we need that right now very badly. So yes. We need you here on State of the Nation. Lynn and I are just, you know, whining and moaning about the State of the Nation, not the show. The show's
amazing. Speak for yourself, Brian. Speak for yourself.
The actual State of the Nation. Well, we oscillate back and forth between whining and moaning and encouraging. But, you know, that's one of the things that you help us do is encourage, stay encouraged, and encourage the audience. So, just want to thank you for that.
Well,
and again,
you know,
Counterpunch.
Yeah. Well, that's what all of these false narratives that they keep pushing are intended to do. The false narratives are intended to make people feel powerless. And so, you know, you've got to really kind of rework your mind and make sure that they're not getting between your ears with their false narratives. And boy, do they roll out these false narratives. They never end. And they all have one purpose, and that's to make people feel powerless. But we still have our rights. We still have the Constitution. We still have the Bill of Rights. We still have the First Amendment. And the way we keep those is by exercising those rights.
And we're doing that here, right now. Right, Lynn?
Yeah. We are, and we're trying, Floyd, to empower. And I'm going to keep walking around all day and night and all weekend, Floyd. I'm going to go counterpunch. Because I believe, I'll tell you why, Floyd. I believe, okay, we keep reacting to this narrative that's just being put out there, the lies, all of this. But if we did it back, because we have truths and facts on our sides, people are not standing up enough and pushing back with these truths and facts. Because anytime I try to discuss with somebody with opposing viewpoints or debate them, they have nothing. Like, they can't do it with me. So we've got the truth and facts on our side, and I say counterpunch. But here's what I want to ask you. I was looking at some of your tweets earlier, and you were talking about January 6th and that lovely young wife whose husband, law enforcement, in one of these prisons, gulags, wherever he is. And I ask you, how can this restorative justice proponents, they're running wild here in New York, and critical legal studies, these advocates, not apply that same level of compassion when it comes to January 6th suspects or even President Trump himself? What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, no, it's so true. And in fact, when I was reading the Durham report, if they applied the same standard that's in the Durham report, which is in federal law, to almost any of these January 6th folks, they'd all be out of jail. And it is so disheartening to see the double standard of justice. But that is, because of a false narrative that the left and really the Uniparty in Washington wanted to make the entire nation believe that Donald Trump was trying to commit a coup d'etat, which is, if he had wanted a coup d'etat, there would have been a coup d'etat. It wasn't a coup d'etat when a bunch of people go up and rally at the Capitol. And then when they are waved in, which we now know for a fact, they were waved into the one side of the Capitol, that is not a coup d'etat. People don't come unarmed to a coup d'etat. And so that's their false narrative, was that Donald Trump was trying to create some kind of insurrection. And so they have totally mischaracterized that rally that day. Now, there were bad operators there, but most of the evidence that I have seen points to the fact that there were two groups that were really out of control. The first group was a bunch of Antifa activists that came down from Baltimore. And, I've even seen video footage of them changing into MAGA clothes and MAGA hats and, Trump shirts and other things, and federal agents. And the FBI has now admitted that they had people in the Capitol. Well, I want to know who were those people and what were they doing in there? So
tons of them, like tens of them. It was like 40, 50 of them, wasn't it? I mean, it's absolutely insane. The day that it went down, I took a look at it. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Floyd, but the day that it went down, I was on a podcast and I'm watching this go down and I'm like, I dubbed it on the spot, the FedNeck insurrection, just because all the tactics I was seeing there on the live feeds and the news reporting. I mean, it was so obvious to me at the time, and it's becoming more and more obvious to everybody. Let me take a quick headline here with today's news talk. We'll come right back and we'll pick it up right here on State of the Nation with TNT Radio.
What time is it?
Now, TNT Radio News.
You know what time it is?
Yeah.
Time to read some news.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Facing a potential contempt of Congress vote, FBI Director Christopher Wray relented and has agreed to bring a subpoenaed document from the Biden family investigation to Capitol Hill for lawmakers to inspect on Monday, alleging that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, was engaged in a bribery scheme to change U.S. policy in return for $5 million to his family's businesses. An experimental simulation of a weaponized AI drone saw the machine turn against the U.S. military and simulate killing its operator.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah, 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
So we're speaking with Floyd Brown. Floyd, I'm still kind of stuck on this justice thing. Let's talk about BLM for a second. Is in effect insolvent, and it will never be audited as probably Hunter Biden. I'd like your thoughts on that as well. Hunter Biden or the money we sent to Zelensky. Yet Alvin Bragg in my home city, the Manhattan DA here, prosecutes President Trump on this arcane, some sort of misdemeanor business records statute. And so I'm asking you again, speak about some of these issues. Where's the justice?
Well, there isn't justice. And so you would know better than I would what's going on in the streets of New York. But from the reports that I see, crime has escalated dramatically since my last trip to the Big Apple. And much of that crime is escalating because, you know, they've dropped the old policies of Giuliani and even Bloomberg. And the new DA is basically just not prosecuting subway crime, theft, and a whole host of other real crimes with real victims. And, if you don't prosecute, you get more of it. I mean, criminals know they are empowered, you know, and you see, you know, now out in California, they've got these theft rings that literally go into stores as groups and just clear out the shelves. And so stores are closing, retailers are closing. A lot of times small businesses are the most impacted because they don't have the funds for security and theft mitigation systems. I just saw one report online about how there's a new Walgreens store where you have to literally order everything on a kiosk and then they come out and deliver it to you. You can't even walk through the store anymore. So, America is becoming dystopian because of our failure with the criminal justice system and the failure of these Soros-funded and paid-for prosecutors not taking care of crime the way they ought to. I mean, first, every country, and in our Constitution, it's clearly this way, the first and foremost role of government is to protect the citizenry. First, to have internal order. Second, to have, external safety. When a country doesn't defend its borders, when we don't have any idea who's coming in and out of the country, and when we're not doing what Donald Trump did, which was aggressively seek to, expel criminals from the country, then you're going to have real problems. It's like a cancer that's metastasizing. It's going to keep getting worse until people put their foot down and vote these people out of office. You know, Soros was very strategic in his spending. He went to these major cities. He spent on a low-level race that most people don't really highly contest. I mean, prosecutors were not highly contested races, and he was able to get some people elected that just don't want to follow the law. And when you don't follow the law like that, you know, it's called nullification. And in essence, the left has decided that they are going to actively nullify laws. And so you get these sanctuary cities and you get these, places where drug laws aren't enforced. And these nullifications are really quite dangerous.
But you know what, Floyd, I got to just jump on this because we know all of this. You've explained it perfectly. Where are the Republicans fighting back? Where are they? Name one major Republican victory as of late. And please don't mention that Durham report again, because nobody understands that one. But where are the Republicans? We pay taxes. I want them to step up more and fight back. Where are they?
Yeah. First of all, the Durham report was not a success. It was a failure. So I wouldn't point to that as a success. I mean, I'm glad that he wrote the report, but I wanted to see prosecutions of those criminals that were outlined and the crimes that were outlined in the Durham report. And we had a couple of low level prosecutions, but nothing like we see from these other special prosecutors. But no, you're right. We have a uniparty that is operating in Washington, D.C., and the Republican Party is part of, part and parcel of the problem. And, you know, the border is a classic example. The patrons of the Republican Party want cheap labor. And so they want to keep the border open. They know that they can suppress domestic wages by, you know, flooding the country with illegal immigrants. And that's exactly what they do. The high tech firms bring them in on these special visas. And, you know, the illegal aliens, they go to the meatpacking industry. And, you know, hotels love illegal aliens because they're cleaning your rooms. And food service and large restaurants and Walmart. You know, all of these big companies, you know, are have essentially been suppressing the wages of average Americans through the use of mass immigration and illegal immigration. So it's you're right. You are absolutely correct. The Republicans are not fighting back the way they should. And that's why it's really important when we do find Republicans that fight back, that we get behind those people and help them.
Yeah. And we all need to fight back too in our own ways, you know, and that's where Counterpunch comes in. That's where you can get into the deep waters of this with Floyd Brown. He's got it all laid out for you there in the book. The methodologies are there. The what we're up against is there. You know what I mean? It's got the whole intellectual art of war that one needs to navigate the current media and political environment, which is set up by propagandists and warmongers and Fortune 100 ghouls that want to play along with a globalist world order push. And in that world order, there is no America. It must be destroyed for that thing to become manifest, and it's time to figure out how to counterpunch against it. Floyd Brown, give us you got 30 seconds. Give us your final thoughts.
Okay, Brian, I would say people have more power than they think. The power they have is right around them with their neighbors and the people in their community. Connect with those people to protect yourself in the days ahead.
There you go. Beautiful. Love it. Thank you. Great final words. That's Floyd Brown, everybody. Again, Counterpunch. Get on out there. Get yourself a copy. And on Twitter, Floyd Brown. Go find him. Follow him. Hit the notification bell. All that good stuff. And we'll have you back on again real soon, Floyd. We're going to go to break with today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Florida isn't as conservative as it would have you believe, and neither is Texas. And in both instances, it's the same root cause. Republicucks doing the bidding of Democrats as part of the uniparty. After his drunken disaster earlier in the week, Texas House Speaker Wade Fallon led the impeachment against State Attorney General Ken Paxton, primarily because he was the biggest thorn in Obama's side and is currently the biggest thorn in Joe Biden's side. Paxton has been fending off spurious charges regarding financial dealings, personal dealings, etc., for almost a decade. Voters have had three opportunities to choose someone else, and they have resoundingly brought Ken Paxton back each and every time. The Senate trial is not expected to be the same cockamamie, corrupt kangaroo court proceeding as occurred in the House on Friday, and Paxton is finally expected to be vindicated. But this entire episode is People's Exhibit number one as to why Texans need to start voting smarter when they pull that R lever. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
The Fallen 15 was created to honor and celebrate those who gave their lives in the global war on terrorism and to inspire others to come together and support our military families left behind. Through various programs and camaraderie events, the Fallen 15 fosters a positive environment where veterans, friends, and families of the fallen can heal and join together to rebuild bonds. Go to thefallen15.org to read about this year's honorees and to support their effort to support its mission. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Brian McClain, Lynn Shaw, and State of the Nation on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Pastor P.M. Smith joins us. He is the pastor of the Huber Memorial Church in Baltimore, lifelong Baltimore native. He went off to law school, then he came back to his community because he wanted to give back, and he's returning today to State of the Nation. And we need you, Pastor, more than ever today to uplift us on this Friday afternoon. So thank you for joining me and Brian here on State of the Nation.
Thank you, Ms. Lynn, for the invitation.
Absolutely. You're one of our favorites.
What do we need to discuss?
I'll tell you what we need to discuss. Before I let you tell us what we need to discuss, I saw a couple of headlines this morning. A Baltimore mom, we were talking about schools your last visit, and decided that all the children are not graduating. This is in Baltimore. And she took her son out. He was an honor student. And the teacher said, well, he can't come to this school because he's too good. He knows too much and, you know, take him out. Go to private school was their solution. She said, it's $45,000 a year in Baltimore to go to a good private school. I can't afford that. She took him out. She's homeschooling. She was very upset with the curriculum being taught in the public school. So what's going on? Do we have any updates about your schools? Because I'm just hearing one terrible headline after the other.
Well, we can begin at the beginning. There are three things that every citizen desires and deserves from their government. The number one thing is public safety. Crime, always an issue all across the country, particularly in the inner cities, the large cities, Chicago, Portland, Detroit, Baltimore. We hit the headlines. Crime is always an issue. Second, economics, inflation. Unreasonable water bills, tax sales. Number three, education. The problem with education, unbelievable. In the United States, Baltimore is the number four city in the country, spending like $4 billion, $21,000 per student. The system has monetized our children. They do everything to keep our children in the public school system because they're worth $21,000. There's no concern about choice. There's no concern about alternative educational opportunities, particularly for a young person who's focused, who has a proper set of values, who has a work ethic, and who's willing to submit to the leadership of a teacher and learn. It's a tremendous problem here, and I don't think it's unusual to Baltimore or Chicago. Education is critical to the future of the African Americans. Education is critical to the future of young people. Education is critical to the future of this nation, but it begins in the home. We're in trouble. The government is not helping, and I taught in the public schools. I didn't trust my children to the public schools. I paid my taxes. They educated kids in the public schools, but I sacrificed to send my kids to private school because I knew that they would be prepared for a future that at the time they were in school did not really exist. Both have done extremely well.
You know, you just outlined a lot of really important things right there. And I hate to do this to you and to the audience, but I must, because I think it's going to say something about what our current White House occupant thinks about what kids should be thinking about and what parents should be thinking about. As you know, probably you can't open anything and not see the Skittles colors on it this week, this month, with regards to your social media feeds. And President Joe Biden has used his Pride Month proclamation to criticize states that have taken steps to protect children from mutilating their bodies in the name of gender affirmation. And it's amazing to see him write. He's accusing state and local legislatures around the country for introducing over 600 hateful laws targeting the LGBTQIA plus community. It goes on into the alphabet soup and the dialectic, but I think you know what I'm talking about here. I mean, is that what's most important, considering everything that you just outlined that seems very, very important to our society, I would ask?
In the state of Maryland, the legislative body just passed a law permitting lawsuits against the Catholic Church here for sexual crimes against children for the last, 30, 40 years. There's no statute of limitation. They are allowing, I mean, you turn on the TV and you'll get three advertisements by law firms soliciting claims for persons to sue the Catholic Church. So if that is a current issue based upon what was happening in the past, why are you sexualizing our children in elementary school? Why are two moms and two dads in the public school system in our school library? We're in trouble. My kid needs to be learning the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, and the rainbow. I mean, I'm a Christian, and I think the original claim was by God that he would not destroy the earth again by water. But they've taken that and made something totally different about it. And our children are learning the ABC, transgender, rainbow, gay situation. And that's not important. It shouldn't be taught in our public schools. And I made a decision to send my kids to a school where it wasn't taught, where I could be heard, where I was satisfied with the curriculum, and where I knew the values of that educational arena would reinforce my values as a dad and as a parent. Here's another thing I need to throw this at you. We have the first African-American governor in the state of Maryland. His name is Wes Moore. The first legislative action he took was to release $3 million to train persons with no medical background to train them how to perform abortions. The previous governor would not release the money. The legislature passed the bill and the money was in the budget, but the previous governor, a Republican, Hogan, didn't release the money. The first official act of our African-American governor was to release that money to train persons to abort babies. What population is going to be affected by that? The second thing, $10 million, an educational program called Boost, an opportunity to give kids financial support up to $3,100 to give them scholarships for private schools. And his desire was to cut it by $2 million and to kill the program altogether. Why would a man who's gone to elite schools, including Johns Hopkins, a military academy in Pennsylvania, he's a Rhodes Scholar, why would he cut educational opportunities for children who look like him? I think it's not the person, it's the policies that he's promoting, and our children pay the price. Baltimore is referred to on the radio and television as a city in crisis. It really is a city in mourning because of the loss of our children.
Pastor Smith, how can we, other than addressing crime, because Brian and I are constantly, we want to provide resources. I should point out your website, huberchurch.org. That's H-U-B-E-R, everybody, huberchurch.org. What can we do today to uplift people? I guess we have to start in the home, right? One person at a time, because people have lost faith. People are not addressing. People are just doing nothing. What should we do? What should we tell them right now?
We need to move beyond platitudes and outrage. We need to take some action to strengthen the family. The family is the basic building block of every society and every nation. Right now, the American family, and especially the African-American family, is not only fractured, but broken. Until we restore the values that make for a strong family, a mom and dad, a strong family with that authority in that household that can correct the child, with that authority that can set boundaries, with that authority that can impose consequences, our children will continue this downward path. So whatever is necessary, and there's no immediate solution, but we have to start, because it wasn't an immediate decline. It started started in the 60s with the government coming in, the welfare program, forcing fathers out of the household, projects, 11, 12 story high projects, the pill, sexual activity without any responsibility, ease to abortion. When a mother, and I hate to say this, but I have to say it, when a mother decides to destroy the life that she's carrying, the very image of God in her, the safest sanctuary in the world, why would anybody be surprised when the guy on the corner devalues that life and kills? When a mother devalues that life and kills? We got it upside down and backwards. Our values must be reclaimed and restored. Our values and our valuables. Our valuables are our relationships. Our values, integrity, life. Our values, children, peace. Our values, the big word is respect in how we relate to one another. I think Aretha Franklin had a song out in the late 60s, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what that means to me. It has everything to do with how we treat one another and talk to one another. Until we reclaim the basic values of respect for one another, which should be taught in our home, conflict resolution taught in our home, authority, respect for authority taught in our homes, respect for boundaries and consequences taught in our homes, then our young folk will continue down a path where they encounter cops, courts, and incarceration. Family broken, children broken, city broken, culture broken, a nation broken.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That sir feels like the what we're faced with right now. Did you happen to see, speaking of the youth and young people, did you happen to see what happened in the beautiful city of San Clemente, California, over Memorial Day weekend, where a large group of teens started an altercation with three U.S. Marine Corps guys and put a group mob mentality beatdown on these military officers? Did you happen to catch that?
I caught that, but I was more concerned about the 53 shootings in Chicago and 11 murders. That dominates, because I see myself in that environment. That dominates my thinking, especially when we talk about Black Lives Matter.
Right.
It's cross-generational, it's cross-racial, and here's the reality. Where there is no hierarchy in the family, there will be anarchy in the streets. Authority, boundaries, consequences, and discipline. Where there's no respect for a hierarchy beginning in the family, that will result in anarchy in the streets. And that's where we're seeing in St. Louis and Jackson, Mississippi, and Clanton, what is it? What did you call the place? In California?
San Clemente.
It doesn't matter. That's what we're seeing. And it's cultural. It's across the nation. And until we go back and reclaim our valuables, our relationships, and our values, old school values, it's going to continue to happen, Lynn. It's going to continue to happen, Brian. And I hate to sound so pessimistic. If we have to start again, let's start with this. Got to have a work ethic. How about you be a spouse before you become a parent? How about you get an education, whether it's academic or vocational? How about you decide that you're going to delay self-gratification? How about you invest in your relationships with the elders in your family? How about you share some respect for your peers? How about you just go old school? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Please and thank you. Good afternoon. Stand up for ladies and children. We're in trouble. And unless we go back claiming our values and our valuables, it will continue.
Those are the Pastor best final PM words Smith, we could ask for right so, there, aren't they, Lynn?
So great. Absolutely. I feel empowered. Pastor Smith always does this for me. Uberchurch.org, everybody. Pastor, a couple of seconds. Give us a little prayer or something. Encourage us more.
The prayer is simple. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, may we be all we have been created to be and do all he's created us to do for the good of his people and for the glory of his name. Thank you both. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Smith. Thank you. Amen. We will talk to you again. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. Next up is the Misty Winston Show. Brian, sending love out your way. I'll talk to you again soon.